right after I went to OKC, I was like, oh man, this is how an NBA team is. I think the difference is probably I like playing basketball there. He did what he always does. He got his stats. He didn't defend. He took an L. We know what we have here in Utah, and we're glad he's not a part of it.
Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The ghost riders off the ramp, how we live, defies death. Put a conscience in the genre box, stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I'm Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA. And today I'm joined by Mark Roberts, who you can find on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts, and Jeffrey Stotts, who you can find on Twitter at RotoWireATC, and he actually prefers just to be called Jeff, so don't be a jerk. If you listen to us on iTunes and can please rate and review the podcast, that would be very much appreciated. For anyone who rates and reviews us, Mark will tell you how much he would hate playing for your hometown team. So please, if you have a moment, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it as well. That would be swell, too. All right, you handsome gentlemen. This, probably more important than fantasy basketball at this time of the year, is the coolest thing that's ever happened in the NBA this season. And that was Enes Kanter pretty much just pooping on the Utah Jazz, and then Jazz players coming out and pooping on him afterwards. Mark, you live, like, outside of Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah, I live about 10 minutes from downtown.
So was there like a big uproar over the fact that Kanter pretty much said that all this terrible stuff about Utah?
You know, people in Utah love their Jazz. Like, there's no other professional team here. And, you know, there's no other professional sports team anywhere really close. So people love their Jazz. People did not take kindly to the Enes Kanter comments. A lot of chatter of everybody I've talked to, and even like on Facebook and things, a lot of negative comments towards Mr. Kanter.
And you said there was some pushback from the fans recently due to the fact that Kanter had been playing so well for the Oklahoma City Thunder, that you'd seen some comments from fans, and just kind of the narrative around Salt Lake City was that, did we make a mistake kind of an idea?
Yeah, I think that in a way the Jazz ownership and management kind of got off the hook, because you see Enes Kanter's had... He's done so well in Oklahoma City. I think Jazz fans were starting to get a little bit like uneasy about that trade and saying maybe we let go of the guy too soon. Maybe we should have not kept him. But there is no Jazz fans that are Enes Kanter fans anymore.
Yeah, when asked what he missed about, if there was anything he missed about Utah, he said the mountains, maybe, but that's it. So pretty awesome. Some of the quotes from the start of the show were from Trevor Booker after the game, saying like, you know, pretty much Kanter wants to go out there and get his stats, and then that's all he cares about. He's not really about wins and losses and things like that. Or if you get a win or a loss, he that's like secondary to him getting his stats. And I thought that was kind of funny though, because after the game, Kanter came out and said, we can't let a team like the Jazz, who aren't even in the playoffs, come out and beat us like that. And it's just like, you go through and you watch, and there are some clips posted on the NBA Reddit or highlights from the game, where you would see on one side of the court, on one defensive possession, Rudy Gobert would just destroy somebody with a block. And then you'd go down to the other side of the court, and Kanter's just getting eaten up on defense. Now, that's not to say there weren't some highlights from Kanter in this game, too. He shook two Jazz defenders literally out of their shoes, essentially. And when I say literally out of their shoes, I mean, like, he got two Jazz defenders to bite on one pump fake, did this awesome spin underneath the hoop, and ended up getting a bucket on it against Gobert, who's, like, you know, one of the best rim protectors in the league, if not the best. So it was – there were some impressive and fun things that came out of this game. I don't really know where I'm going with this. It was just a fun moment.
Apparently, Kanter is a big wrestling fan, right? And he certainly played the part of like a wrestling heel. I had no idea he had that in him, but it was fun all the way around, I thought. It was fun to see what he did. It was fun to see how the Jazz reacted. You know, like you mentioned some of Booker's comments, but Gordon Hayward had some pretty interesting comments afterwards, too. He wouldn't refer to Kanter by name. He just talked about the player that used to be on our team.
That's pretty awesome.
It was pretty good. And I think pregame, like, all the Jazz players shook all the Thunder players' hands except for Cantor. They just completely ignored him.
You know what? If Cantor turns out to be like a Hall of Fame player someday, then all of this will just be part of his quirky personality. But if he falters or if he's not a part of winning teams going forward, he's going to look like such an ass.
That's true.
And because it's stark how many of his ex-teammates are just kind of like throwing him under the bus without even a second thought almost. Now, he kind of put himself out there like that. And you talking about some of the WWE type stuff, literally what happened was that, and I know literally is being used pretty loosely here on this podcast, but anyways, the Jazz fans were booing Cantor as he came out, as he was announced for the Thunder on Saturday. And Cantor threw up his arms and was like waving to the fans like, yeah, bring on the boos, let it rain down. And then he even put his hands to his ears like he was. I mean, that's a Hulk Hogan thing, isn't it? Pretty sure it's Hulk Hogan. Yeah. So
did you know that he has like a website and a Twitter handle? I don't know if it's run by him. Somebody just sent this to me. It's called The Under Cantor. Like, I think that's how much of a wrestling fan he is.
That's beautiful.
A pseudo personality named for a wrestler.
The Thunder should bring him out in a one of those things where dead people are put a coffin.
Yeah, one of the caskets.
Yeah, like the Undertaker. That would be great. They need to find the manager guy, the dead guy.
Pallbearer, man, you gotta bring Pallbearer in.
Sorry, I'm fringe associated with WWE because two of my last three roommates were like huge into WWE, so it was always on the TV, but I was never really the one putting it there. That's not to say I didn't sit down and go, all right, this is fun. Anyways, let's get into some basketball stuff. Going into week 23, this is the week where most of my leagues end at this coming Sunday. We tried to, throughout the preseason, tell everybody, if you're setting up a league, make sure it ends a week and a half early, because once we get past this coming Sunday, it becomes a sugar show as far as who's going to actually play from night to night, whether players are getting rested. I mean, we've already seen throughout this year that players get rested for just whatever reason, just the schedule or too many games and so many nights, yada, yada, yada. And it's been pretty frustrating. Going into this week, from Monday to Sunday, March 30th through April 5th, you've got 17 teams who have four games, and you got 12 teams that have three games and one team that has two games. And the one two-game team is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I just want to get this two-game discussion out of the way here really quick, Mark. Who would you use from Cleveland with two games?
Well, that's such an interesting question, because most weeks, I mean, a lot of times when we look at teams with two games, we say just the superstars should play. And the Cavaliers have those guys like Kyrie Irving and LeBron James fit into that category. But the Atlanta Hawks have secured the number one seed. Not that there was any real discussion there. The Cavs are pretty well set up into the two seed. So I'm looking at this and saying, is there a chance that they rest LeBron or Kyrie in one of those games? And if so, you definitely can't play those guys. So those are the only two that I would consider playing. I mean, it's going to be tough to put Kevin Love on your bench, but I think you probably have to do it. But I would question even playing LeBron James. It just depends on what your options are. But there's a real chance that he only plays one game.
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't resting anybody for Sunday's game. But I don't know if that makes me less bullish on them or more wanting to kind of avoid them, thinking, well, if they had rested guys for Sunday, maybe they would leave them available for the two games this week. But it's just tough, and you don't know, okay, now is there enough time off in between the games for Cleveland for them to say, we're just simply not going to rest guys? You know, it's a different story if you would look through the week and you saw two back-to-backs on there. But looking at the schedule right now, it's they play today, then they don't play till Thursday, and then they don't play until Sunday, and then they don't play until Wednesday. I mean, realistically, there's zero reasons for them to rest guys this week. So if you've got LeBron James, I think he's probably a safe play, but
Thursday is a TNT game versus the Heat. My guess is they play that
LeBron's
game.
LeBron's playing that game. And then on Sunday, they play against Chicago on ABC.
Yeah, and they're going to need that game. They're going to need that game, too, because Chicago is only right now only a game and a half or two games back in the in the standings.
And David Blatt has come out and said, we want the number two seed. We have to have the number two seed. Now, I don't know why he's so adamant about that, because you go through and you look at the East standings, and it's like, unless Chicago drops to the fifth spot, who the hell are you worried about?
Yeah.
Atlanta.
You just don't want to play Atlanta in the second round.
But even that, like, Atlanta already showed them how they plan to beat them in their last game, and you know Cleveland's going to make the adjustments. I mean, I don't know, it was Austin Carr, whoever it is that calls games for the Cavaliers, or who's the color guy, and he was coming out and saying, like, look, I see the way that the Cavs are getting beat right now, and honestly, all you have to do is do this a little bit, and really it's just working in the post more and moving the ball from side to side within the paint and things like that. And I don't see that that game that we saw between Atlanta and Cleveland about a month ago, where Atlanta just beat the tar out of Cleveland. I don't see that being indicative of the way things are going to go moving forward. Essentially, I guess, for fantasy purposes, is I would feel okay putting LeBron and Kyrie into my lineup for this week, given the wide berth between the games and things like that.
I think I'm reluctantly in agreement with you. Like, if you drafted LeBron James as your first or second pick, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, you're just kind of...
Looking at the schedule, that makes me feel a little bit better, but two games is tough. Like, he's not going to probably be your best player if you win next week. You're going to have somebody else step up.
Yeah, you bought the gas station burrito that's got a little bit of mold on it. Now you're just going to pick that off and eat the rest of it.
What about Kevin Love? Do you don't put him in with LeBron and Kyrie in that discussion as a two-week... Or a two-game guy?
No, because his production isn't on the same par or is on the same level as those guys. But we've got Jeff Stotts here, so we should probably get into some injuries here, Jeff. Biggest news from the week, Kevin Durant undergoing foot surgery again. He's going to miss 4 to 6 months. More so, I mean, we can just say it. He's out for the season, right?
Yeah, he's done, finally.
Okay, but what does this mean going into next season as far as the keeper league value for Durant, dynasty league value? Do you hold on to him? Do you try to trade him in the offseason? When he comes back from this, is he going to be healthy? Like, I guess trying to answer any questions that a keeper league Durant owner would have.
You know, I'm actually a lot more optimistic about his current situation than I was at the beginning of the season. And that was because when they said, look, 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to get him back and he's going to be fine. I was just, this Jones fracture takes a long time to recover. And the fact that he returned, I think it was 6 weeks and 2 days after the surgery, you know, made me a little bit cautious. And then, you know, he continued to play high minutes. Yes, they had him in a little bit of a minutes restriction early on, but he's, you know, got back to his normal level pretty quickly. And then he started having those soreness. But now they're taking a extremely proactive approach with the bone graft that they will have and basically shutting him down and saying, you're not going to be doing anything. There's none of this. Can you potentially come back? There's no pressure on him. It's, look, have the surgery now, be back in 4 to 6 months. And I actually, you know, would have almost preferred them to say do something like this at the beginning of the season, and potentially he could have been here now. And granted, that's all hindsight, and the injury obviously didn't progress like they had initially hoped. And I think they did what they were supposed to do. But obviously, he had these regressions, and this is where we stand. And I do think he's going to be fine. All the studies show that a lot of the bone grafts with this type of injury in high-level athletes have positive reports, return to play. And the best example I can give is the kind of a best-case scenario is actually Glenn Davis, who had a similar problem with a fracture in his foot. The hardware failed. He needed a additional surgery. He had the bone graft and was back, and he hasn't had any foot problems. And he's the same height as Durant, but obviously a lot bigger weight-wise. And the fact that his foot is held up is a good indicator that you can come back from this injury. It just, again, needs time. And this is a mandatory time off now. It's he's going to get the rest that this injury needs. And I'm optimistic that he'll be back next year.
That all sounds good. So with Durant, with the 4 to 6 months, that pretty much puts him at returning the end of September, going into October, which is when training camp starts. Should we expect Durant then to be available right when training camp starts, or do you see this possibly the rehab process stretching even deeper, maybe even into the regular season next year?
I think it's a possibility. Glenn Davis missed the first 11 games. I think his surgery date was a little bit later, but he did miss the first 11 games of that season, but has been fine since then. I think there's that the Thunder are going to play this safe. I think you're going to see an extremely conservative approach with him. And I think they're going to have to, you know, kind of flex their muscles a little bit. And that's Durant's impending free agency kind of makes this a tough situation because they don't want to, you know, offend him or create any kind of friction with him as, you know, this looming free agency is always on their minds. But they're going to have to be kind of the ones, because Durant's going to want to play as soon as he can. That's the kind of athlete he is. But they're going to have to really lay out the perimeters and say, this is how it's going to be. The parameters are set. We're going to stick to it, and we're going to move forward with everything in mind. And look, the specialists they have are the best guys in the industry for foot injuries like of this magnitude.
Okay, so you're not taking the stance that a lot of other people are, saying that the Thunder boondoggled this or anything, the whole situation?
I don't think it was handled perfectly, but it's really hard to do that in the middle of a season or at the beginning of a season. You know, there's a lot of pressure from everybody. There's a lot of factors that are in play. And, you know, this is kind of par for the course with this injury. Like, everyone seems to keep thinking, oh, they messed it up. But I mean, if you guys go back to the first thing I wrote on Jones fractures, you know, I said, look, surgery doesn't guarantee anything. And there are a lot of potential complications. And that's why I kind of recommended don't take Durant with the top two pick. You know, I think Curry's a safer pick. I think LeBron's a safer pick. And so hopefully he heeded my advice and are sitting in the fantasy playoffs not dependent on Durant.
No, I don't think that, I mean, Mark, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we're, between the three of us, I don't think any of us were pimping Durant as the first overall pick for the most part at the beginning of the year. I don't remember that.
I'm probably guilty. I didn't say first pick, but I said you should still draft him in the top five. Okay. I said 60 games of Durant. Durant is so good, and this is still true. It just, he played 30 games. But 60 games of Durant is still better than almost every other player in the league.
Right. Yeah. And it is what it is.
We only got 30 games.
Yeah. It's extremely frustrating. I took LeBron over Durant in the league. I think I had a third pick. And it was a keeper league. And then I ended up flipping LeBron for Chris Paul, given the playoff schedule that you guys were talking, how problematic it can be with just having those two games. So there's, you know, look, it's an obvious, unfortunate situation, but I'm optimistic for next year.
Holla.
I heard on, I was listening to Pardon the Interruption, and Mike Wilbon was saying, and I'm not sure what his source was, but he's saying one of the guys he trusts that knows this foot surgery well said he was really surprised at the 4 to 6 month time frame. He was saying he thought it was more like an 8 to 12 month time frame.
I haven't heard something that extreme in terms of 8 to 12. You know, I've heard 6 months. I've heard more so on the 6 to 8 months than necessarily 4 to 6. But you know, I think anytime you get a timeline, it's all relative, and there's.
Okay.
It's plenty flexible. So I think there's some extreme cases if this continues to be a problematic injury to heal. I mean, the worst case scenario would be something like along the lines of Brook Lopez, where he's having, you know, he had to have an additional surgery to reshape his foot because the stress of his biomechanics was still putting a lot of force and stress through that fifth metatarsal. So they had to take an even extreme, you know, and one more step forward. And there's been no indication that Durant's going to have to go down that route, but I mean, it's always a possibility. There's always the risk of a setback is always looming.
I think what this boils down to is that Kevin Durant will never play for the Thunder again. That's
whoa.
I know. No, I'm joking. I'm obviously joking.
Hey, it's possible.
Now, I remember when we first started talking about this Durant injury, and I'm almost done talking about all this, but didn't you mention the list of, like, Jones fractures guys? There was some guys who only missed, like, 11, 18 games or 8 games or something. Like, I remember certain guys having this injury, and they only missed a very short amount of games, but I don't know if that reflection was, okay, they injured themselves, like, going into the off season, so they didn't have to miss many games because they had tons of time off. But Pau Gasol is one that I think stood out to me, where he broke his foot and he was able to come back soon. I apologize if you don't have this up right now, Jeff. I just
look, the list is long with fifth metatarsal. They're very commonly fractured in the NBA, and part of the reason is because there's a tendon that attaches to it, and so when you turn your ankle, that tendon pulls on that bone, and a lot of times you'll have an avulsion fracture. Now, what makes a Jones fracture a little bit different than some of the other guys you mentioned is it's primarily the location of where the injury occurs. Now, I mean, I can sit here. I've got a list in front of me. Brandon Jennings, Brooke Lopez, CJ McCollum, Naz Muhammad, Joe Smith, Rasheed Wallace, Martell Webster, Ricky Davis, Mike Bibby, Roddy Bobois. All these guys have had fifth metatarsal fractures. Not all have been classified as Jones fractures, and not all have needed surgery. There have been some guys who have missed no time because it occurred in the offseason and they were fine. But those kind of injuries didn't occur, or either weren't Jones fractures and didn't require surgery, or, you know, were just classified as different, maybe an avulsion fracture, those kind of things. So there's plenty of examples of guys that have been fine, and Gasol is one of them. He did need surgery. He had no reoccurrence, and I think he missed the first 22 games of the season that year. Okay. And has had no real problems. So there's a lot of variability with his injury, which is why I warned, you know, and why I'm still why I'm optimistic. Yes, you know, I still think there's a little bit of trepidation there.
If I owned Kevin Durant in a keeper league, and it was just like a straight up keeper league, like you get to keep this guy or this guy, and there's no contracts involved, or you're keeping a this round pick instead of this or whatever, however you guys would have it set up, I would probably be trying to trade Kevin Durant for Anthony Davis, or maybe even looking somewhere else a little bit different. I don't know, man. Like, you go on what you know, and what you know is that Kevin Durant's dealing with a fairly serious injury. Yes, there's instances where it's been corrected and guys have been fine going forward, but then you've also got a situation where we've seen how many times Brooke Lopez has broken his foot, and I don't know. I would rather be going with a situation that I think is going to be more healthy and better going forward, and especially with the Anthony Davis thing, like, you're seeing some of the further growth that he's stepping into right now, and he's still putting it all together. This was just his third year still.
Yep.
Look out. Okay. Things are going to get even more freaky.
Kyle, I think that's pretty easy to say you would trade him for Anthony Davis and some of those guys close to Anthony Davis. But like, what about the next group of guys? Like, I don't know, Damian Lillard or.
No, I mean, I think
how far down the list would you go?
I think it gets difficult to even say, would you trade him for LeBron James? Would you trade him for James Harden? Would you trade him for, I would trade him for Steph Curry. I would trade him for Steph Curry. I would.
So you're not going too far down that list. Like, maybe there's a handful of guys, two or three or four, that you would trade him for, but you're not going to like a second round guy or a third round guy.
The problem is when you put it into the 8 or 9 category context of rotisserie league, then it really limits the number of guys that you want to even consider using. Like, if you're playing in a 9 category rotisserie league, I wouldn't even probably trade Durant for Russell Westbrook, because Westbrook's turnovers are just so egregious. I mean, there's a very short list of guys I would trade him for, but I would probably actively be trying to do that. All right, let's move on to another player with an injury. Patrick Beverley injured his wrist last week. He's going to possibly miss the remainder of the season. What do we need to know about this, Jeff?
Basically, within the next couple of days, we will hear whether he's going to opt for season-ending surgery or try to play through the injury. You know, with wrist sprains, depending on what the ligament is, you can play with the ligament completely torn. Kobe's probably the best example. He's done it. With Beverly, obviously, you're at a tough spot because he's got some value, but is this going to affect his shooting? And really, you know, it sounds to me like it's a considerably significant sprain, and they're obviously opting for certain, looking at options like surgery. So, you know, if you have to lock in your roster at this point, I'd probably shy away.
And Mark, you're just dropping him everywhere, right? For the most part, yeah. Patrick.
Yeah. Are you saying drop him?
Yeah. Beverly.
Cut out. Yeah. I think his fantasy season is effectively over.
And Jason Terry has stepped into the starting point guard spot with Beverly out the last couple games, but Terry's he's not doing as much as we probably would have expected, which wasn't even that much. Terry played just 19 minutes in the Rockets' last game. I don't see Terry being a viable fill-in option. So I'd be looking elsewhere. Schroeder, Zach LaVine are probably the two that stand out the most as guys who might be available. Monte Ellis is not playing Sunday against the Pacers, and he's got a calf injury that he suffered in Friday's loss to the Spurs. What do we need to know about this, Jeff? In one-year leagues, are you considering dropping Monte Ellis?
Yeah, because the information's not really great, and it's been vague. Dallas is kind of one of those teams that's pretty vague about what they have. They have said that he's off the crutches, which he left the arena following the injury against San Antonio on crutches, but said it's pretty sore, and Coach Rick Carlisle kind of hinted that they were going to be conservative with him, knowing that the playoffs are right around the corner and that, you know, he's got to really be healthy for to be effective. And if you look at Ellis's numbers, his struggles and his big slump during the season started following a left hip injury. So even if he does play, I think he's going to – he has the chance to be pretty wildly ineffective. So I'm looking elsewhere.
What are you doing with him, Mark? Dallas has just three games this week.
There's no there's no sacred players anymore. Like, this is the last week. That's at least in all my leagues. I'm like, I know what you're talking about. So if he's not going to play, you got to move on. You've got to find somebody that's going to plug in, somebody who's going to play four games and play him. I wait as long as you can to drop him. Like, wait until you hear the news for sure that he's not going to play next game. But I have no problem dropping him.
Yeah, Hassan Whiteside is out again on Sunday. So that's another game missed with him. The Miami Heat have four games this week. What are you doing with Hassan Whiteside? And Jeff, Whiteside's dealing with a hand injury. Do you have any more information there?
It's a laceration in between his ring and middle finger. And the last thing I heard is he is still very limited by pain. It was really hard for him to catch a ball. So, again, similar to what I said about Ellis, is I think even if he does play, some of the statistics that we really rely on him for are going to be limited. You know, obviously he's got some keeper value in keeper leagues and those kind of things. But in one-year leagues, if you don't hear something positive by that first slate of games on Monday, I'd consider looking elsewhere.
Even, I guess, that's a good point. If you don't hear by Monday if he's going to play in that game, then consider sitting him out. Whiteside was questionable for Sunday's game, so it looked like there was a possibility he could play. Mark, if it gets to the point that people need to decide to drop Whiteside in order to stay competitive this year, I'm actually okay with that, even in keeper leagues. Now, if you can, especially if your keeper league doesn't have contracts, if you've got a contract on Whiteside, you can keep him for a dollar. Yeah, you're not throwing him back. You're not getting rid of him. But if it's just a standard keeper league where you keep a certain number of players and you're this deep into the playoffs, I'm sure you already have several other interesting options. And something we saw from Whiteside is that he's not as superb as he was during that kind of torrential stretch he went on earlier. It's possible he could develop into that kind of player. It's possible with a full off season, with really being integrated into the Miami Heat, he could become that kind of player. But Pat Riley plays no favorites, really. If Whiteside will be available to be traded this year, if some team wants to give Miami something stupid for him, he could end up on another team. And also, looking back 2 years ago, I had an opportunity to keep Larry Sanders for like $5 at a time that going into drafts, he was considered a second-round pick 2 years ago. And now we see Larry Sanders, a guy who's dealt with some of the same emotional issues, I guess in some ways you could say maturity issues, that Hassan Whiteside is dealing with. And now Larry Sanders is out of the game. He's not even playing in the NBA. I worry about that with Whiteside. Like, he's not a no-brainer keeper to me.
I think that's a great point. And even the way that they play basketball, they profile similarly. Like, a lot of Sanders's value in that year came from blocks, and the rest of it came from rebounds and field goal percentage. Like, if Whiteside blocks half as many shots as he did this year, then, you know, he isn't exactly your top two or three players.
And I've watched a little bit of Whiteside and I've seen enough out of his offense to think that there's a decent amount of potential there on the offensive side of the court, much more than with Larry Sanders. But it's also a matter of being consistent with it and demanding the ball and all that kind of stuff. And I just don't know. I don't know if I've seen him be fed the ball as much since Goran Dragic was acquired as well. So if Goran Dragic stays on that team, I wonder about the dynamic there as well, because there was a time where the Heat were just kind of feeding the ball to Whiteside because he was an everyman for them in some respect. So I just wanted
to see Bob Cousy's comments about Whiteside.
Yeah, I kind of just rolled my eyes at that.
For anybody who didn't see it, he said that he's the only player since he played that he thinks compares favorably to Bill Russell.
Bill Russell won, what, 8 straight championships in the NBA? Or was it just 8 total?
He won 11 total, I know that.
And 8 of them were in a row.
I think so.
Yeah. Let's not make that comparison. If you want to say the way that he moves and carries his body, the way that he takes his shots, things like that, fine. But other than that, let's not. All right, moving on to some other injury updates. Derrick Rose is expected to be cleared for contact this week. Is there anything we need to know about this, Jeff?
No, we can just go on to the next one because everybody knows even if he does play, he's going to come back and they're going to closely watch him, and he's not going to be fantasy relevant this year.
Thank you. Donatas Mata-Junas is out for the next 1 to 2 weeks with back issues. Do you have any more information here for us on this?
I'm avoiding the situation simply because Houston keeps listing it as back pain. Well, what does that mean? Is it disc related? Is it muscle related? And those are the situations I have no interest in being a part of.
Mark, are you seeing any opportunities for us to take advantage of Mata-Junas' absence? I know Josh Smith stepped into the starting lineup on Friday, and Smith was there again on Sunday, but we've got Dwight Howard probably sitting out Monday's game. Expected to sit out Monday's game because it's the second game of a back-to-back. Is there an opportunity for someone to step up with Mata-Junas being out? And if so, who the hell would it be? Because they've already got Dwight Howard ruled out for Monday's game because it's the second game of a back-to-back. And even with Howard being there, Howard's only playing about 20 minutes per game right now. So I'm looking and I'm trying to figure out, is there somebody who would be worth owning? I don't imagine Joey Dorsey's gonna do it.
No, I think your opportunity is Josh Smith in those games that Howard isn't playing. I think he should get really a lot of minutes. So even if that means taking advantage of him in a daily games league, I think you could certainly do it because, look, Terrence Jones is out. Mata-Junas is out. Even Papanikolaou is out. Joey Dorsey is going to get some minutes, but he's not going to put up enough productions to own. I think a lot of times what they're going to do is they're going to play Dorsey some. They're going to and Smith some and maybe Ariza as the other front court guy and just go small. But I think Smith is the one that really benefits minutes wise, where like a couple of weeks ago, he was in the 20 to 24 minute range. I think he has almost 100% chance of being in the high 30s.
What about
as far as minutes go on Monday?
Now, Josh Smith, we often would talk about the fact that due to his contributions and all the counting categories, you're like, yes, use him in head-to-head leagues. But his percentages have always been so poor that we said avoid using him in roto leagues. At this time in the season, do you just bite the bullet on those percentages, hoping that kind of what you've amassed over the stretch of the season, that's just more or less who you are, and that's going to insulate you from the terror that is Josh Smith shooting the ball?
Yeah, I think that there are cases where you can be really close, right? Like if you're sitting fifth in the standings and all you need to do to get up to ninth in the or 9 points in the field goal percentage is to gain a few hundredths of a point, then Josh Smith is probably somebody you're going to want to avoid. But if you're pretty safely slotted into the position you're at, which would be most people, I think your base of attempts and your base of makes is so great right now that Josh Smith isn't going to affect it very much, then you can really look at it the same way you look at it head-to-head leagues, which is leave your percentages alone. Don't worry about them. They are what they are. Just try to really pick up points in the counting categories.
Yeah, that's good. The Josh Smith situation. So he stepped back into the starting lineup on Friday. He played 40 minutes in that game against Minnesota. He played 36 minutes on Sunday against Washington. Both wins, 16 points, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 assists. Yeah, he was 1 rebound away from a triple-double against Minnesota on Friday. 3 blocks, 2 blocks, 1 steal in one of the games, 3 three-pointers, 2 three-pointers. Like, if Josh Smith is available in any leagues right now, go at him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say eight team or larger leagues, I would be having Josh Smith rolling out for me this week. Houston does have 4 games on the schedule. Like, there's no reason not to use Josh Smith this week.
He's kind of their center right now, right? When Dwight Howard doesn't play. I know that Jody probably going to start there, but he doesn't play a lot of minutes anyway. I think Josh Smith is their center otherwise.
I'm really hoping they call up Clint Capela and we get to see him, because people compare Clint Capela to being kind of a Serge Ibaka type player. So I think that would be interesting to see him come up and play. He's put up some pretty interesting lines down in the D League, just 20 years old out of Switzerland. So interesting guy. Jeff Teague on the Atlanta Hawks, Jeff. He had an ankle injury last week, played through it in the game that he suffered it in. I believe that was on Wednesday. He suffered a sprained ankle in the first quarter, came back in the second, played through it. Then they rested Teague the two games this weekend. And they have the number one spot locked up in the East, so there's really no reason for them to play Teague. Is there anything else about the ankle injury we need to know? Is it just a typical sprained ankle, and it seems they're just resting him because they don't have to play him?
You know, I looked into his past, and this is the 10th left ankle sprain of his career, which is, you know, a lot for a guy, especially a guy this, you know, kind of still young in his career. So I think you're going to see Atlanta play this safe. And even if he does play, maybe get him back out there and then a day off. And, you know, the Hawks have really hurt me. I have Horford and Teague and a very tight matchup, and missing both those guys is hurt. So, you know, I think more so than Horford, Teague is going to be treated very carefully. And, you know, again, a situation I just don't know if you want to be around.
Mark, Atlanta only has 3 games this week. If you own Teague, are you considering dropping him for the fantasy championship week?
Yeah, I would strongly consider it. Really, the only reason that I would think about not keeping him or not dropping him is just because assists are sometimes hard to find. But I wouldn't count on any more than 2 games from Teague.
That's really kind of sad. And I don't even, like, if you own Teague, I don't. That's fair. If we're only counting on 2 games out of Teague, then I would say it's probably best just to drop him. The other thing is, so the schedule this week for Atlanta, they play Milwaukee on Monday, so you can at least wait until the start of the game on Monday, as long as you can make waiver claims leading up to that, or if you can add somebody onto the end of your bench to kind of be sitting there as a sub-in, an easy sub-in, maybe do that. But Atlanta plays Milwaukee on Monday, then Detroit on Tuesday, and then Brooklyn on Saturday. There's almost no reason for them not to just rest their players for all those games. They have an easy schedule going down. Milwaukee, Detroit, Brooklyn, Phoenix, Brooklyn, Charlotte. I don't know why I added a D onto Brooklyn. Charlotte, Washington, New York Knicks, and then Chicago Bulls to finish off the season. Like, that's such an easy schedule going down the line there.
And they really have nothing to play for. Like, they've locked up the number one seed. They are 5 games behind Golden State for a home court advantage in the finals. So they're probably not going to catch them.
And they have one.
They just need to get healthy.
1, 2, 3. They have 3 back-to-backs in the next 2.5 weeks. You can damn well be sure that's probably going to be 3 games in which a lot of players getting rested.
Yep. I can't imagine Jeff Teague playing in both Monday and Tuesday.
No. So
that would blow my mind. So I think you got to get somebody else in there. I'd way rather have some point guard, even if it's like Ish Smith or something.
He's been great.
You pick him up and you can play him 4 games or 3 games, however many Philadelphia plays over Teague's 1 or 2.
Yep. If Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is still available out there, Greg Monroe is out again on Sunday. KCP's, I mean, it's not the same position, but Detroit has 4 games this week, and KCP has not slowed down, and we don't know when Greg Monroe is going back. I guess we can kind of move there. Have you heard anything else about this Greg Monroe knee issue that's been going on, Jeff? Because he's missed, I think, 6 games now.
Yeah, just they called it a strain. And other than that, they haven't given us much information. You know, assuming it was like a hyperextension, it's going to be something like a quad or a hamstring strain just at the knee, depending on, again, where it happens. So he says he's going to play before the season ends, but that doesn't give us any indication if he's going to play soon. So I'm kind of the bearer of bad news today for a lot of these guys. I don't think you can run that risk.
We got some news on Saturday that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who sprained his ankle, is going to be out for 7 to 10 days. Drop him everywhere. I mean, seems obvious.
Yeah, I don't see why you would want to take on those games.
And then Cody Zeller's missed 5 straight with his shoulder injury. I don't really see any light at the end of the tunnel there. What about Serge Ibaka? He underwent knee surgery. He remains 2 to 3 weeks away. I don't even know why I'm bringing him up more than anything. I guess I'm just bringing all these guys up to assuage any concerns people have, or really just to answer any like lingering questions about these guys. I know for the three of us, it's kind of like beating a dead horse. But Serge Ibaka knee surgery remains 2 to 3 weeks away. Still nothing else to add there, or?
Nah, and I don't really think his surgery really should affect his long-term status either. So if you are kind of on the fence in terms of keeper leagues, I feel confident with him going forward.
Andre Roberson is going to be out another 1 to 2 weeks, so you can avoid him everywhere. Josh McRoberts, there keeps being all these little things about, oh, he's traveling with the team now, this and this and this. And this. I wouldn't count on a Josh McRoberts return. Have you heard different, Jeff?
Nope. When they first said the season, they ruled him out for the year, so I don't know why they would, you know, change their plans. Maybe the Bosch injury changes things a little bit, but I think the original plan was, look, you're done for the year. Let's move on.
Evan Fournier could return sometime this week, so maybe you just keep an eye on that in deeper leagues. Alexi Chved, with his rib injury, he's going to be out for another 2 to 3 weeks. Thaddeus Young hyperextended his left knee in Friday's game. That ended up opening up the possibility, or it allowed Mason Plumlee to step into the starting lineup for the I think Young actually might have done that earlier last week. But anyways, he missed a couple games with his hyperextended left knee, including Sunday's game that allowed Mason Plumlee to step into the starting lineup for the last couple games. Hyperextended left knees, how long does that usually... Is that a case by case thing, or?
Hey, well, they came out and said it's a strain, so it is a muscular injury. The hyperextension did just kind of explain how it happened. I think you kind of got to put this in a similar boat as Greg Monroe, and you know, he's already missed some time, and I think the likelihood of him missing a couple more games is pretty high.
Is he worth hanging on to, Mark?
Probably not. It's fine. My first reaction was like, well, Brooklyn doesn't have anything to play for. And then I went and looked at the standings, and they're a half a game out. I keep forgetting that they're tied for eighth right now.
Bizarre.
I don't feel comfortable putting him in my lineup for tomorrow. Like in a weekly league, that's why I'm hesitating. Like in a daily moves league, maybe you can try to hang on to him till Monday or Tuesday and see if he's going to play. But I think in like a weekly league, you got to find a healthy body.
Yeah, Brooklyn has 2 back-to-backs this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday. Not sure that matters for a guy like Thaddeus Young, who's going to be a free agent in the offseason. They're probably not too worried about keeping him healthy other than to try to make the playoffs, which they need to make the playoffs. Otherwise, it's completely a worthless season for them. They don't even have a draft pick next year, at least not in the first round. All right, moving on. Sorry. Yeah, Thaddeus Young, it's getting tough because I feel cheap just telling people, like, drop this guy, drop that guy, drop him. But that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's just warm body. Like, you just put whoever is going to play games into your lineup at this point.
Yep, we need a live bat. Kyle Lowry, what can you tell us about his back issues and the fact that he was able to return for only about 11 minutes before going back out, Jeff?
Well, you know, it's still an issue because as soon as he tried to play again, it started spasming again. I've seen reports that say out indefinitely, and that's enough for me to say, well, bye. Because, like you said, you got to have guys that are going to play. And at this point, it looks like he's going to miss more time. They've got the playoffs to consider. They're kind of stuck where they are position-wise. And they've got to have him healthy if they're going to make any kind of noise.
What are you doing with Lowry, Mark?
Yeah, he's another guy I don't feel comfortable putting in my lineup. Like I played in him against him in two weekly leagues, and he locked in both of them, and I was ecstatic. Like
that's they've hilarious. Got four games
just because you could see the writing on the wall. Like he wasn't. I don't know how you can trust him. If you have some flexibility, I'm okay holding on to him like until tomorrow's game against the Rockets and just seeing if things work out. He does have 4 games, but yeah, I don't feel comfortable locking him into a league this week.
No, if you
are sorry, into a lineup.
if you are sitting there and you've got, you know, you got Kyle Lowry on your team, you see that Toronto has four games this week, you're it's tough pill to swallow. They play Monday against Houston, and then they play Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. If you can wait until Monday to make a decision on Lowry, do that. That's fine. But it's kind of like Jeff says, we don't really anticipate him being ready for Monday. Otherwise, we'd probably be hearing some pretty optimistic things coming out right now. And you're just not hearing that. This doesn't sound good. I would be trying to find somebody to add who's going to be able to make a difference for me this week. If push comes to shove, you could use Gravis Vasquez off your waiver wire, but I'm not a big believer in his production. And the thing that you've always counted on Vasquez for was his assists. He really hasn't been getting those big assist numbers that you would like out of him. Terrence Jones, he's been ruled out pretty much through, I think, through this remainder of this coming week. So you're going to avoid him in most leagues. Did you hear anything different about him, Jeff?
I've heard he's making progress and that he thinks he could potentially be back probably some point this week. But again, I think with given the injury, he's going to be on a, you know, probably a minutes restriction and, you know, that those collapsed lungs can be a big deal in terms of cardio, obviously. And, so it's going to be some time, but
I think the Rockets' final game this week is on Sunday and then they don't play again until Wednesday of next week. Everything I read was that he was going to miss like five more games, and five more games would be through next Sunday. So I'm not, no.
Yep.
No. Paul George, have we all just, I know I held on to him way too long in one league.
I don't own him in any season league or season long leagues, like, or what's single season leagues.
Yeah, I think they're optimistic he'll play, but again, a situation where minutes are going to be limited, and I just don't see why you'd hold on to it for fantasy purposes.
Indiana's so dumb. Ryan Anderson hopes to return to action this week. This is probably the one thing that you should be keeping an eye on, because if you're struggling for three-pointers and Ryan Anderson is able to return, maybe he can just drain a bunch in one game or two. But the Pelicans, I also don't know how many minutes they would be willing to play him. They've got three games this week. I wouldn't be throwing Ryan Anderson into any weekly lineups. I would maybe just watch throughout the course of the week. If you're streaming in players in a league with daily lineups, I would maybe consider looking at Ryan Anderson there if he is able to return. Nick Collison could return sometime this week. If he does near the end of the week, then you start to look at Cantor's minutes maybe going down a little. Maybe they just take it away from McGarry. Maybe they take some away from Steven Adams. I think most likely minutes would just come away from McGarry. They seemed pretty dead set on giving big minutes to Adams and Cantor, even when Collison was still healthy last week. So not too worried about that there. Anything from you guys?
I was just going to say, what you said about Anderson, I think you could say the same thing about Paul George. I think in most leagues he's been probably dropped if the owner's still paying attention. And if he does return, I think he's an interesting guy to stream in.
Fair enough. Totally
agree. I would feel fine picking him up if the Pacers announce he's going to play and start and streaming him for a game.
I don't know why they would limit his minutes when he's coming back this late in the season necessarily. At least I don't know why they would limit it to, like, you know, why, like them running him out there for 4 minute stretches or something. I think it'd be dumb.
Exactly.
Like, if you want to say they're going to limit him to 6 to 8 minutes for each time he goes out, that would make more sense to me, because it's, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jeff, but like, he's coming off a bone injury. He's not necessarily like rehabbing all of his, I guess everything that he's rehabbing inside of his body, whether it's muscles or ligaments and stuff, it's more or less just getting those kind of into game shape. And I know that's a very, obtuse way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get reps. He's got to see how things can hold up, and if there's going to be any, you know, soreness or related symptoms based on just playing at a high level again. So, he's going to need as much reps as they can give him when he's been officially cleared to play.
Jamal Crawford has a tentative return date of April 7th. He's been out with a calf injury. If you still have him on any rosters, why are you listening to the podcast? Robbie Hummel will play Sunday. And Anthony Bennett is also returning Sunday. Keep an eye on Bennett simply because I am delusional and I still think that he was worth, well, he should have been a top five pick 2 years ago, not the first overall pick, but I'm still
keep an eye on him because Chase Budinger has been playing like 35 plus minutes a game.
Ooh, now
right? Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, okay, so this game's almost done, the Timberwolves versus Pelicans game, and here's the minutes distribution we've got. Chase Budinger's played 29. You got Anthony Bennett having played 10 in his return. Robbie Hummel played 16 in his return. Justin Hamilton played 23, put up 11 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. All four of those guys off the bench. Those were the four bench players used. Zach LaVine, 36 minutes played, put up 17 points, 4 rebounds. Lorenzo Brown continues to do weird stuff. 8 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists. Gorgui Dieng, what the hell? He must have gotten hurt.
Facial contusion for Dieng. I had to leave early.
What a jerk. Played just 9 minutes. What a jerk getting punched in the face.
Listen, if he's out, then Bennett's got even more opportunity to play big minutes.
Yeah, but I think I would be looking maybe more at like Justin Hamilton. Yeah. Or maybe I think the guy that we should immediately look to is the guy who stepped up today. And that's Adrian Payne, who stepped up with Gorgui Dieng being out. And Payne put up 14 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals in 36 minutes. I guess it's anybody's a possible good player on the Timberwolves right now. Because anybody and everybody can get minutes. They did not give Sean Kilpatrick a second 10-day contract. I know that's going to leave a few of you guys heartbroken. More on the Minnesota side of things. Ricky Rubio did not play Sunday. There was a report that he could go Monday. Mark, are you going to be putting Ricky Rubio into any of your weekly lineups?
No.
Minnesota has 3 games this week. Kevin Garnett is apparently ill now. Okay, so he was being rested. Then he had knee soreness, and now he's sick. But he did not play Sunday. So just want to keep track of all these injuries for Kevin Garnett, keeping him from playing. Darren Williams had an illness that kept him out of practice on Saturday. He was able to play Sunday. The Lakers continue to be weird. They decided to play Jordan Hill on Sunday instead of using Ed Davis. So they just used a 3-man bench and just rested Ed Davis and Carlos Boozer just because, you know, it is what it is. But Jordan Hill was back in there. He played 27 minutes off the bench, put up 22 points, 16 rebounds, 1 block, 1 assist. So Jordan Hill got some rest and he came back now. Does that change your perspective on Jordan Hill, or do you not want to deal with this dalliance of what the Lakers are doing? Because who knows what the hell is going to happen in the next game. Jordan Hill could be resting again, or Ed Davis could be back and that would throw a wrench into things. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's all the above. Like, yeah, I would love 22 and 16, which is what Jordan Hill gave you today.
Four games this week too.
Yeah, so in a weekly, again, I mean, it just depends on your format. Like in a weekly league, I'm nervous to lock in any Lakers.
Other than Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would even said Jeremy Lin before today, and we can get to him in just a second. But if you can kind of manage it and watch the situation and see who's in the starting lineups, I definitely think Jordan Hill is somebody. Like if they say, again, they're going to go without Boozer and Ed Davis, then I think Jordan Hill's worth playing.
I'll let you guys take care of the Jeremy Lin conversation. I'm going to go take a piss. I'll be right back. Just continue.
Basically, he had an upper respiratory infection, just like that's kind of seemed to be going around the Lakers, and he's not playing. And that just increases the value of Jordan Clarkson because, you know, like we said, he seems to be the really only Laker you can trust at this point.
Do you think that should keep – I mean, like, should we be worried about Lin missing games next week?
Not particularly, you know, it's an illness, but it is,
maybe they had something to play for.
Yeah. If I'm going to say no, and someone's going to be all mad at me cause they're going to start Lin and be like, but again, Clarkson seems to be the guy that's the best. And this is actually Jeremy Lin's first game missed with injury, you know, so that's a good sign for him. And you know, he's played through injury or illness before. So, you know, wait till you hear the last minute to make a decision on him.
Yeah. So Lin will have, I mean, they have 4 games next week. you would, I assume that he'll play in like three or four of those games. Yeah. So, you know, in a weekly lineup, if you can find somebody that has a little less risk, I think that's okay. But at the same time, if you have to lock him in because you just can't find other healthy options, I think that's okay too. Next guy on our list, Jeff, is Brandon Knight.
Well, you know, he's kind of deserted fantasy owners when they needed him most with this ankle injury. I mean, yeah. You know, and the Phoenix has got a pretty terrible playoff schedule for the most part. And it's been an unfortunate situation, but at least Knight owners were able to kind of, you know, pick up someone that maybe played more games. They do think he's going to be back. The fact that they're saying his explosiveness is back is a good sign, especially given the history of how effective the Phoenix medical staff can be. So if he's your best option, you know, I think you might be able to run the risk this week. Again, another situation where I want to wait to the last possible minute. They only play three times this week. So if you know if he's going to miss one, you know, you probably want to look elsewhere. Just, you know, I'd rather have three or four games out of a guy on one of those other teams that's healthy and you know is going to be in a lineup versus two games out of a still recovering Brandon Knight.
And they play, looks like they do play on Sunday night. So we should, there's a chance, I guess, he plays in that game. What we've been hearing, though, is that he'll be playing off the bench. So we can, I guess, on Sunday night's game, we can validate if he's back. We'll know what his role is, maybe. If he plays considerable minutes, I guess you can feel comfortable putting him in your lineup. But again, three games makes it a little bit tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. JJ.
Oh, there he is.
Hey, Kyle. Brandon Knight, what's your? Would you put him in your weekly lineup, Kyle?
It depends on what my other options are. I'd rather have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in there rather than Knight if you've got four games. It really depends on what my options are in the league. But there are a lot of guys I would be more excited about using than Brandon Knight with three games. It does help that he's got his explosiveness back. I hate that came out in a report. Like, that's the report? How about he's completely healthy? What do you mean his explosiveness is back? Whatever. Sorry. I don't really know what that means.
No, it kind of seems like he'll be coming off the bench, though, which is worrisome.
Yeah. Are the Suns still under the delusion that they can win a playoff spot? Because if they are, then they're not changing anything, because they were playing well with the new bigger lineup. So yeah, they're just three games back of the Oklahoma City Thunder. So it's possible they're still going to try and fight to win.
And they have a play like that. It's possible.
JJ Barea did not play Sunday against the Pacers. This was a fourth straight game that he missed. We also saw, as we detailed earlier, Monte Ellis sit out of Dallas's game on Sunday, and they're going to start they're going to start Richard Jefferson tonight. So
is that what you were laughing about?
Yeah. So so does Richard Jefferson start at shooting guard, or is this Chandler Parsons? He shifts down the shooting guard, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've used Jefferson primarily in the forward spot. They've even played him at power forward when Dirk's been out. So,
yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all I've got down here for injuries. Do you guys have any other things we need to talk about, or anything that stands out that you want to mention, Jeff?
I think we hit them all. You know, the big thing with me and injuries, and this is going to be the focus of my column this week, is you can't hold on to anybody that's not playing. And unless it's a keeper league, and obviously then you have decisions to make, but one-year leagues, don't be sentimental here. Yes, the guy got you there, but if he's not going to play, he's not going to help you. And I think there are plenty of other guys, and you know, injury breeds opportunities for others. So, you know, look at a guy like Jordan Clarkson, who could see more reps with Jeremy Lin out, those kind of things.
And if you are playing in a weekly league, or not even a weekly league, if you're playing in a standard league, 10 or 12 team, and you have Dwight Howard on your team right now, I would drop Dwight Howard, and I would rather have Jordan Hill on my team right now. Mark?
Yep. Yeah, I think what swung that for me was what happened today, and that's because, I mean, Howard played well. He had a double-double, but that means he's not playing Monday. We know that he's not going to play back-to-backs, and so you've already lost him for one game of your next matchup.
True that. So yeah, you're getting three games at best out of Dwight Howard, and realistically, it's only going to be two because guess what? He's not playing Monday, and then Houston has a back-to-back on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, so you're going to get 40 minutes out of Dwight Howard is how you have to look at it. So even if he can get 20 points and 20 rebounds in those games or in those minutes, which is possible, that's all you're going to get. So can you find a player? Can Jordan Hill get 20 points and 20 rebounds in his four games? I think so.
Yep.
And maybe closer to, 60 and 40 or 60 and 30 or something. I don't know.
True that. All right, Jeff, can you tell us where we can find you, where you want to be found, and where we should look?
You can find me on Twitter, at RotoWireATC. My column will come out this week. It'll be out tomorrow on RotoWire.com, looking at the injuries for the week. I also have my baseball column up, so as soon as basketball done for you players that do fantasy baseball as well, that's up and running. And then you can visit my personal site. It's instreetclothes.com, and I try to keep everything updated with injury rates in the league and injury trends, those kind of things.
So you'll take, you do three of the four major sports for us for injuries, right?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah, Jeff's not just a basketball guy. He's a multi-talented injury evaluator. Jeff, we love you.
Right back at you guys.
Hey, I'm a little sad that this is the last time we're talking for an official podcast for the season.
I'd be more disappointed if I had heard you wash your hands after you came back from the bathroom, but I didn't, so I'm going to leave it at that.
You act like I'm recording this from the bathroom. Like I just, let me just get up and walk over to the urinal here. And then, I've got some water I can splash on my hands here.
No, see, now I feel better. I'm going to miss you.
No, thanks. Because I have clean hands. That's right. Guess what, though? I didn't wash my hands.
Well, y'all have fun.
I love you. All right, we'll talk to you later, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye, Jeff.
Oh, good. Now that he's gone, let's get into the good stuff. It's nice just to spend time with you, Mark.
Absolutely. Okay. I like how every time Jeff would bring, it seemed like every time Jeff brought up a Maverick, one of his dogs would bark.
Because that's the name of his dog.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right, let's talk about some hot stuff from the weekend. Came out on Sunday that DeMarcus Cousins could be rested for 1 to 2 games down the final stretch of the NBA season. Same thing goes for Rudy Gay. Damn if this doesn't throw a wrench into things when trying to set your starting lineups this week. The Sacramento Kings have 4 games. Now, the report I saw was from Jason Jones of the Sacramento Bee, and he said that Carl approached DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay and said that he was thinking about sitting them out for 1 to 2 games to see what they felt about it. Didn't say that this would actually happen.
Yeah.
But if the media is hearing about that, then it's a good possibility that those guys get sat down for a game or two. And that's tough. I think you're still playing DeMarcus Cousins pretty much no matter what in your weekly leagues. Makes things a little bit harder trying to decide whether or not to use Rudy Gay. So their schedule this week, they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. These would not be the days to sit them down. Like this week would not be, in my mind, you don't see any back-to-backs. Maybe if they want to get them tons of rest, maybe they just say, all right, we sit you Wednesday so that you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off going into Friday's game. I don't know how they would go about this, but
the rest thing for players like on this King seems silly because you're going to be off for like 6 months soon. But you make a good point. Like the end of the season, when he says they could be rested at some point down the final stretch of the season, next there's a lot more games than just this week. Like there's another week and a half of games. So you've got to play Cousins. He's been like the best player in the fantasy playoffs so far. I think you're probably okay playing Rudy Gay. You know, again, you kind of look at it as like, even if he plays, even if you slot him as a 3-game player and you feel like you're going to get 3 healthy games out of him, I think you're going to have a hard time finding somebody better than that.
That's fair. Yeah. I think I would put both these guys into my lineup and just hope that something stupid doesn't happen. Obviously, double check the news wire, double check RotoWire to make sure that there's not some kind of new update about these guys. Moving on to the Philadelphia 76ers, Furkan Aldemir
He's one of the best names in the NBA.
I need to learn how to say his name before next season. But Furkan Aldemir started at center, and the 76ers said they're going to take a look at using Nerlens Noel at power forward for the next 9 games. I think that's more from a defensive standpoint. They want to get a handle on whether or not Noel is going to be able to go out and guard stretch fours
consistently,
because you're not going to ask Joel Embiid to do that most likely next season. Essentially, the situation with Philadelphia next season is going to be Joel Embiid is going to be playing the center on defense, and then on offense, Joel Embiid will be playing the stretch player, and he'll be the 3-point shooter and whatnot. And that's not to say that Embiid won't get some post ups and whatnot, but we've really seen Nerlens Noel start to show off his offensive game lately, and it's been awesome. Surprisingly yeah. awesome.
Yeah, he's been great. And I watched some of that game. Well, first of all, Aldemir has a double-double so far in 27 minutes. So 11 points, 10 rebounds, something to keep an eye on. Noel, I watched him guard Kevin Love today, and Kevin Love was trying to post him up, and Noel just ate him up, just forced him into a turnover, kind of lost the ball. He's been awesome lately. He offensively and defensively, you mentioned it on his offense. I'm talking about his defense here, but last game he had 30 points, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 assists.
It's nuts. He's doing like turnaround fadeaway jump shots that are going in. Like he's doing some Rasheed Wallace type post moves, and you're like, huh, what? How the hell did he do that? He's showing that he has a lot more touch, or that he's developed a lot more touch over the last year and a half. We kind of forget that he had a whole year to just kind of hang out underneath a hoop and just like work on stuff, because he couldn't do much else. Philadelphia has 4 games this week. That makes Ish Smith a must play to me due to the production he's been offering lately. At least in 12 team leagues, and probably even in 10 team leagues. Robert Covington, I think, is back on everybody's radar now. He remained in the starting lineup for Sunday's game. Furkan Aldemir, he needs to be at least considered in your deeper leagues, and maybe even 12 team leagues going into this week with there being 4 games.
Like, Kyle, I think, would you rather have Furkan Aldemir or Dwight Howard?
I was about to ask you the same thing. I would rather have Furkan Aldemir.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but again, back to that thing, same thing. Like, you're expecting 40 minutes next week from Dwight Howard. So I think Furkan Aldemir in 4 games can do what more than Dwight Howard can do in 40 minutes.
Indeedly do. Looking at this box score from Philadelphia and Cleveland, which has 4 minutes left in the game, Thomas Robinson hasn't played. That makes me so happy.
Really?
There's zero reason for them to play Thomas Robinson. He's a free agent at the end of the season. So what the hell's the point? You're not re-signing him.
Well, I mean, that would be the point, right? If they are going to re-sign him, then
but maybe. Why? Why would you re-sign him? He's so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would be just if they could see talent that the Kings and the Rockets and the Blazers and the Nuggets didn't see. Mm. But clearly they don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
He may not be in the NBA next season.
That would be hilarious.
Which is crazy, because last year he had some relevant basketball play, like great plays in the playoffs last season against the Houston Rockets. There was a stretch during 1/4 quarter, I think it was game 5, where he went in and he made 3 or 4 plays that I thought swung that game. But I don't know. That's role players in the NBA, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that. I respect your opinion, and like, I'm sure like that. Like, I just, whenever I think about these kind of guys, I just, Jason Thompson, Tristan Thompson, JJ Hickson, Thomas Robinson, they are literally all the same player. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a factory out there.
That, what do you want to name this one?
Yeah. Well, it's got to have a J and a J in it. Blah, blah, blah.
No, I see what. Yeah, from a fantasy's perspective, especially, they do the same things.
There's not much underneath the surface there for these guys. Jeremy Grant, still keep an eye on him. You know what stands out to me though, too, in this with Aldemir playing 27 minutes as the starting center here, is Luke Richard Mbamute still played 22 minutes off the bench. Henry Sims played 13 minutes off the bench. Sims hasn't been playing, so Sims actually stole Thomas Robinson's minutes, which is hilarious. Yeah. And Jakarr Sampson finally got moved back to the bench. Thank goodness. Jiminy Christmas. Watching somebody play 16 minutes every single game as the starter was maddening. I really don't have anything else to share there for the most part. I'm feeling more and more bullish that the Cleveland Cavaliers are not going to rest anybody for the two games this week.
Yeah, once you look at them and they're so far spread apart. They are national television games. They're against teams that they need to beat. Like
Blatt has not shown a propensity to rest guys this season.
Right.
He's actually kind of been like, "What? Why the hell would I rest guys?" Like,
yeah,
they're paid to play. They're freaking playing, you know, like, which is awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, it still sucks that it's two games, but I don't think that it will be one.
Looking at some of the other weekend action, Rodney Hood returned to action for the Utah Jazz for Saturday's game. He had missed a couple games due to illness. Hood ended up putting up 7 points and played 29 minutes, had 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. Rodney Hood, again, is a decent streaming candidate to look at, however, especially because the Jazz have 4 games this week. But if you're looking at shooting guard options to stream, I think it starts with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and then maybe you find Rodney Hood a few tiers below that. Derek Favors sat out Saturday's game for the Jazz with his back spasms, and Trevor Booker stepped in and started at power forward. What do you think about Booker if we see Favors have to continue to miss games this week?
I think he's an interesting option. I mean, he should, again, you mentioned the 4 games that the Jazz have. I wouldn't lock him into a weekly lineup because I think there's a chance that Favors, I think there's a pretty good chance that Favors doesn't miss all 4 games. But when he's out, you know, if you could stream in Booker for a game or two, I think you could do a lot worse. He had 12 points, 3 rebounds, and is still in 33 minutes. I expect him to rebound probably a little better than that. So maybe you could expect 12 points and 6 rebounds in the games that he plays.
Yeah, Favors is questionable for Utah's next game. All right, David Lee started in place of Draymond Green for Saturday's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. David Lee played just 21 minutes in the game, scored 12 points, pulled down 4 rebounds. This was just a one-game thing. The Warriors were looking to get Draymond some rest. He even tried to argue with Steve Kerr to play, and Kerr was like, "Nah, dude, you've got a couple of knick-knack injuries. We're just going to rest you." J.J. Hickson started at center Saturday. Daniil Gallinari was sitting out the game due to rest. I think it's really funny that the Nuggets had Gallinari leave one game with a shoulder injury earlier this week. Gallinari played in the next game, A-okay, fine, and then they decided to sit him out and rest him on Saturday. And what that tells me is that the shoulder's fine. They were just resting Gallinari, and that's what it was on Saturday. And that terrifies you for his value for this week because Denver has just 3 games on the schedule. And I think there's a high possibility that you see Gallinari get rested for one of them. So I would avoid him in all my weekly lineups. I'm annoyed as heck by the fact that J.J. Hickson was moved into the starting lineup to start next to Kenneth Freed instead of Yusuf Nurkic. Could be an injury-related thing with Nurkic's ankle, but realistically, it's just Denver being dumb with J.J. Hickson.
Yep, agreed. They're resting players against their players' and coaches' will. So kind of a weird situation, but I agree. I think that if you're penciling him in, like if you are projecting out on a spreadsheet or something, you pencil him in for 2 games.
Yep. The Atlanta Hawks rested their whole starting lineup for Saturday's game. Jeff Teague was out with the ankle sprain. The rest of the 4 guys were quote unquote rested. Mike Muscala and Elton Brand started in the front court. We saw Muscala have a great game, and that's going to be interesting, not necessarily for this week for weekly leagues because Atlanta only has 3 games, but if you're looking at streaming options or daily games options, whenever Atlanta decides to sit their guys again, Muscala should be kind of noticed as a guy who can go out there and get you rebounds, get you points, do pretty much everything except get you big assist numbers, and he even hit a couple three-pointers in Saturday's game. So, I mean, he was awesome for daily games.
Yeah, and that's somewhere where you can really swing your fantasy playoffs. Like if you get to Saturday and Sunday and you see the Hawks are resting their players and you're behind a little bit in rebounds, you pick up Muscala. That can be the difference between winning and losing.
Kent Bazemore moving into the starting lineup with Damari Carroll and Kyle Korver out. Bazemore put up 20 points in the game as well. He's somebody to keep an eye on. Marcus Morris, if this guy is available anywhere, he should be owned in all standard leagues. He put up a double-double of 19 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal in 44 minutes Friday against the Blazers. Over his last 5 games, Marcus Morris has averaged 13.6 points, 9.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 1.4 steals, 1.8 three-pointers. That's you own that. You roster that. You play that. So you're not in love necessarily with the fact that Phoenix has just 3 games this week, but
what about with Brandon Knight coming back? Does that concern you at all?
Good point. That's tough. Not as much as you would think it would.
Yeah, I still expect Knight to come off the bench, but I wonder if those minutes come down a little bit. I think he's a tough call for sure in a weekly league. Just because of the, if it was 4 games, I think that it would obviously make things way easier.
Yeah, that's... I appreciate you giving me a dose of sobriety there. I was getting a little bit excited about what Morris had done over the last 5 games and the fact that it was Marcus, not Markeith, doing it. Yeah, that's a really good point. Although, I mean, if we're making arguments for and against, you don't know how many minutes Brandon Knight's going to play, yada, yada, yada.
Or if he'll play.
I'm pretty sure he's coming back Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't come out and say that somebody's got their explosive back and not play him.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the good thing is we don't know right now what Sunday's game looks like, but by the time you set your lineup on Monday, you do.
Probably the most important note from the weekend was the fact that Reggie Jackson got a triple-double on Friday against the Magic. 26 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal in 31 minutes. Jackson has averaged 20.8 points, 7.8 rebounds, 10.2 assists, and 1 three-pointer over his last 5 games. Dude is ballin'. You're welcome to everybody who we told to stash Reggie Jackson. Sorry, I don't usually do that, but I'm gloating.
Be mainly. I think you should say that you're welcome at the end of every podcast.
You're welcome for listening. Tell your mother I said hello.
No, he's been awesome. That was 2 triple doubles last week.
Okay, so right before Reggie Jackson went on his like a crazy tear, somebody in the office, DJ, Jerky DJ, he was like trying to give me crap about Reggie Jackson because he had had like he had had this really bad game, and I yelled at him. I was pretty much like, no, I'm sick of this. Everybody keeps talking crap about Reggie Jackson. And this was like a week and a half ago. And I'm like, he's only been on the team for blah, blah, blah games. Like, you got to give it time, blah, 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 blah. And I just like laid it out. And I came back from the bathroom or whatever, and DJ had put this note on my desk, and he'd put the date on it and everything. And it just says, on this date, Kyle still likes Reggie Jackson. and ever since then, Reggie went on this tear, and I just come into the office and I'm like, hey DJ, did you see how Reggie did last night? But I'm way louder and just mean, and it's great.
You're on board with the 5-year $70 million contract that they're going to give him this off season.
What is that? 15 a year?
14 a year. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Drop in the bucket.
Well, if he's going to average 26, 11, and 10, it should be worth it.
That's money in the bank, yo. Yeah, I'm down with that. What's up?
No. Man? I just said cool.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. Just like you should be excited about Gobert and whatnot. I know that's not your team, but it's the team that's closest to you.
Yeah, I'm warming up to them a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier to warm up to them when they're going out and, you know, beating the crap out of other teams and playing as one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
They have struggled a little bit lately, though, the Jazz. Anyways, all right, you got any other updates, sir?
No, man, let's do DraftKings.
All right, just want to kind of touch on some other random injury stuff that came in during the course of the podcast. Tony Allen is not playing Sunday against the Spurs. That means a little bit better value in minutes for Jeff Green and Courtney Lee. Iman Shumpert left Sunday's game with an ankle injury and will not return for the Cavs. Derek Favors is listed as questionable for the Jazz's Monday game against Timberwolves. Shabazz Napier is not playing Sunday against the Pistons. Aaron Baines is playing Sunday against the Grizzlies. He had missed the past three games with an injury. Dwayne Wade is playing on Sunday against the Pistons. Greg Monroe is not playing Sunday, and that pretty much catches us up on everything. Kevin Martin is not playing Sunday or did not play Sunday. So, yeah, that's everything. All right, let's do the DraftKings Minute. There are seven games on Monday. I was having a terrible time finding good plays on DraftKings for Monday's action. At point guard, the two guys that stood out to me were Jordan Clarkson and Dennis Schroeder. The reason these guys stand out, particularly Jordan Clarkson, is because if Jeremy Lin has to miss another game like he did on Sunday, Jeremy Lin was out with an illness on Sunday, I think Clarkson, that just solidifies his value because there's nobody else to handle the ball on that team.
I think that's a great point. And Jeff kind of alluded to the fact that Lin's injury or illness is probably not long-term, but he very well could miss that game.
Yeah, I would think with it being on Monday. Now, Lin was at the arena. He stayed at the arena for the game. It was questionable whether or not he was going to be available. Then they decided not to play him. I mean, why would you worry about it?
Turns out they're not playing for anything right now.
Turns out. Those are good plays there. Dennis Schroeder, that's if Jeff Teague is not playing. Schroeder's just 6,500. Clarkson's 5,600. Love Schroeder at 6,500. It's just a good price. I'm sorry, Schroeder's 5,600 as well. I dyslexic'd my numbers.
That's even better for you.
It is so much better. That's $1,100.
You just saved $900.
Yeah. Thanks for math. Mark, and they're playing against Milwaukee. You don't necessarily love that matchup, but Milwaukee's kind of struggled to bring their defense back to the same level it was before the All-Star break. Mark, is there anybody else who stands out to you?
No, I didn't find anybody else.
Ish Smith is interesting against Los Angeles, but his price has gone up to 5,900, so it's not as great of a value as you would like. Zach LaVine simply hasn't been as torrential as he was in the earlier this season. He's not dropping double digit assist games or anything right now. So Zach LaVine at 5,600 doesn't interest me as much. And then you just go look at the rest of the guys who are available. I mean, there's
what if Lin plays? Like, would you still go with Clarkson over Lin? Lin is essentially the same price.
Yes, I would. Yeah, Lin is 5,500. I would consider using both of them.
Yeah,
but Clarkson's getting more minutes.
Yep.
And Clarkson has had bigger games than Lin recently. Anybody else at point guard? Yeah, you said no, right?
Nah.
Yeah. There's really not. At shooting guard, I hate all your options. You can spend $11,500 on James Harden, or you can use Eric Bledsoe at a time when Brandon Knight might be back eating up some minutes. DeMar DeRozan is 7,800. I think he's interesting. And then Chris Middleton's probably the best high upside / safe play at 6,400 against Atlanta, especially if Atlanta ends up sitting guys. The players who interested me the most were some of the lower costing guys. Kent Bazemore, 5,200. He's playing against Milwaukee. If Atlanta decides to rest most of their guys again for the next game, Kent Bazemore is interesting to me. If we see Rudy Gay sit out against Memphis on Monday, Nick Stauskas at 3,000 is interesting. Stauskas has been putting up some pretty fun lines lately. Sauce Castillo has been doing it a little bit more. He's been getting some action off the bench. 22, 20, 18, 19 minutes the last few games. Part of the reason for the whole resting of Cousins and Gay was that George Karl would use those games to take a little bit of a longer look at some other players. And I'm sure Nick Stauskas is one of those guys that George Karl wants to get a look at. Stauskas, Sauce Castillo, he seems like a perfect player for what George Karl would want to do in the NBA.
That's a good point. Love the nickname.
Yeah. For anybody who's not hip to that, there was a closed captioning typo in the middle of one of the Kings games when Nick Stauskas scored a point or whatever, and they typed out Sauce Castillo. So now all of his teammates just have started calling him Sauce, and everybody on Twitter and whatnot calls Nick Stauskas Sauce Castillo. It's a fun time. That's all I've got at shooting guard. Like my suggestions for shooting guard are Chris Middleton, which is fine at 6,400, or Nick Stauskas and Kent Bazemore. Like, that's brutal.
Yeah. And that's Bazemore only if Atlanta's resting people, right?
Yeah. The first two suggestions I had were like, if then, which is not good. At small forward, I think you've got a no-brainer option here against Toronto. Josh Smith is just 6,500. That's it. That's who you're using at small forward. Don't look anywhere else. Jeremy Grant, who stayed in the starting lineup for Philadelphia on Sunday, was somewhat interesting to me, but he's had a pretty bootsy game on Sunday. Just 2 points, no blocks. I mean, just actually pretty brutal, actually. Nothing to get excited about there. Somebody you would have maybe considered taking a flyer on, not going to do it now. Did you have anybody at small forward who you would consider?
No, and I feel like if I said anybody, that would maybe give people the impression that they should think about somebody besides Josh Smith. Like, it should be Josh Smith.
Yeah, 6,500. You're not going to get a better option. He should be able to just punch Amir Johnson in the throat and then stomp on Valanciunas' face while he's sitting on the bench because he's not playing. At power forward, I'm going to consider using Aldemir, Furkan Aldemir.
Mr. Double-Double.
Yeah, at 3,000. You're considering using him if he stays in the starting lineup for Monday. Being able to use him as the minimum salary player, that's what's really exciting there. You can consider using Nerlens Noel against Los Angeles because Los Angeles has been terrible against opposing big men. Noel has put up 52 and 54 DraftKings points his last two games. I don't have the read on what he put up for Sunday's game, although Noel had 8 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. So he's going to have to bounce back from this game against the Cavaliers.
Yeah, and the Lakers are going to be a good opportunity to do that.
Anyways, looking at the center position for players to use for Monday's set of games, is there anybody who stands out to you, Mark, or do you want me to just rail with mine?
Yeah, go with yours.
So Zaza Pachulia against Atlanta, particularly love this if Atlanta's, of course, sitting their guys. 6,100, it's not a great price for him. He's had two unappealing games in some respect, back-to-back, just 19 DraftKings points in their last game against Golden State, although you look at the matchup and go, that makes sense. Before that, though, against Indiana, 27 DraftKings points, and right before that, 50 DraftKings points against Miami. Going up against Atlanta, if they're going to throw out some kind of bum lineup, I love Pachulia at 6,100. I would also keep a close eye on Justin Hamilton's status.
Yep.
At 4,200, he's really interesting just because he's getting fully back healthy. He's now played two games. It's possible they could give him a lot of run.
Jang might be out.
Yep. Another great point. And then maybe look at, Mike Muscala I lost his price.
3,400.
Because of how well he played in Atlanta's last game with them sitting out guys. If the Atlanta Hawks are resting guys, looking at using Muscala there. And that's about it. If
a couple of power forwards, can I mention quickly?
Yeah, do it up.
Trevor Booker and Adrian Payne, we talked about their situations a little earlier in the podcast. There's a very good chance they both could be starting. I mean, Payne probably will start anyway, but with Dang out, I think he'll have more opportunity. And they're both at 3,400. I think I just lost theirs. Nope, 30. Sorry. Payne is at 39. Trevor Booker is at 37. So I'd consider using those guys somewhere in your lineup as well.
Absolutely. All right, that's all I got. Nothing else, Mark?
Nope.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I'm Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA. And this is...
I'm Mark Roberts, and you can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, you bet, Kyle. Thank you.
We love you guys. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for the final podcast of the season. Dun, dun, dun.
Bye, guys. Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. We ghost riders off the ramp, how we live the 5 step. Put a conscience in the genre box, stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond G-depths. You couldn't fathom what we plan to do next. Turn the music on his head.